two Washington Mutual Bank locations in New York got scammed. Apparently, a team of clever crooks ripped off more than $100,000 from at least 50 unsuspecting ATM users in Chinatown and Staten Island, one of the biggest ever info heists in Citibank's. Apparently, what they did is they were able to attach a device to the ATM. It's electronic spying devices in card readers that captured every customer's card number. Then they had a bogus camera taping their personal identification PIN number when they typed it in. Then they hit the banks at different locations, wiped everybody out. Some 50-plus customers wiped out. So just kind of look around the next time you go to an ATM. When we come back, it'll be Stephen Quayle and your phone calls. And then next hour, for the next 2 hours, I'll have open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Stephen Quayle. Stephen, I do not believe the globalists, the Illuminati, the people who want this huge one-world government. I don't think they're behind this Iranian wacko president. I think this guy was going to be doing what he was going to do anyway. I think what they may be doing is taking advantage of this guy. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the puppet is the puppet. The man who controls the strings controls the puppet. It's always easy, George, to extend your foreign policy by using a crazy, staying in the shadows. And, you know, you can exploit someone's hate. You can exploit someone's megalomania. And if you know exactly what makes a person tick, in this case, obviously, we're all learning what makes the president of Iran tick. The point is, it's pretty easy to suggest certain things. I mean, look, the intelligence agencies run incredible psychological profiles on everything from world leaders to military leaders to try and be able to figure out what they're going to do. Well, some people, you don't have to figure that out that much. So you can surreptitiously pass cash. You can clandestinely put people in vicinity or proximity to and pretty well work a foreign policy against a nation. In this case, let's face it, if Iran is nothing more than a proxy for people that are ready to be joyfully and gleefully looking forward to the day that America goes down the tube. Now, there are people that say that can never happen. Well, point blank, it couldn't externally, but should a certain elements within the country want the country destroyed, it will have to happen from within. And I got to tell you, all of the wars that are going on that we're seeing in the intelligence communities with the NSA, the CIA, the DIA, everybody else that's got any three or four letters in their name, the military, the rumors of this, the rumors of that, the absolute attack on what I would call the foundational principles of the United States, the absolute abject denial and the invocation of evil spirits. Obviously, Britain has made the statement that there will be no Christianity and no God left within several years. They made that statement years ago. But look at what happens. Look at the freedom, the personal freedom. Look at the contempt for life. Look at how many people don't matter. And then look at all the people that trusted someone to be there for them with the hurricanes, Katrina and Rita. People write me every day from Florida, South Florida. God bless each and every one of you in Florida. The bottom line is they're talking, George, 2 years after the fact. They have insurance policies, and the insurance companies are yet to send an adjuster or to show up. So the idea that someone will always be there for you. Look, someone just sent me an email, say, crying wolf. I'm not crying wolf. I'm telling you, there is no longer time left to cry wolf. You'd better smell the wolf. You'd better see the wolf. You better know that the breath on the back of your neck is a wolf. And this thing is escalating to the point you would have to be woefully ignorant, terminally stupid, to deny that the stress and the tension in the political realm, the financial realm, and even the geological realm,
Watch. And the whammy punch is China is dumping dollars now.
Absolutely. You know, let me share this with you. I don't mind people that disagree with me. That comes with the territory. But, you know, there's a way to disagree, and it's not to say, well, everything that guy says isn't true. It's to look. You know, I spend literally mega dollars on my website and interviews and flying people in and going and talking and doing a lot of stuff. And you do that because of your quest for the truth. Now, look, if someone doesn't want to acknowledge that this stuff is happening, there's nothing. There's no need for them to listen to me or you on this subject matter because they've already made up their mind. But if that certain feeling, I know, George, that intuitively you and others and those who look at the world more intuitively, everybody who is intuitive that I know is saying, whoa, something's getting really ready to happen.
Yep.
It's not an intellectual thing, first and foremost. It's not even a statement or a response to perception. It is an intuitive sense of knowing, knowing, knowing.
To the phones we go. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. It's all yours.
Hey, this is Will from Ohio. I've got a question for Stephen. And if I may, if you're listening, Art, we love you, bro.
Okay, my friend.
Stephen, as a private citizen, as an American, what can we do to prepare for this?
Well, first of all, I think that watching what the people faced in Katrina, Rita, the hurricanes in Florida, the natural disasters, whether you're dealing with 13 feet of snow in Japan, tsunamis, what you've got to do is recognize that you look at the most reasonable interruption of your life, wherever you're located geographically, and then you prepare. You prepare to know that when there's no one there for you, what you've done ahead of time in anticipation of dealing with a worst-case scenario, how do you keep warm? How do you keep clean? How do you deal with sanitation? What do you eat? What do you do when there's no power? I think everybody has got to adopt the pioneer spirit and get back to the same thing our forefathers dealt with. We look back in history as those people didn't have everything we have, but one thing they did have, they had the ability to provide for themselves.
Okay, thanks for that phone call. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi there.
Steve, you're 100% on target. I get very nervous, so let me go slow. Are you familiar with Barry Shimas?
Yes, I am.
He's investigative reporter. He just sent out a world alert. My husband and I, 3 years ago, sat down with him in Manhattan, and he explained to us the whole entire thing about Perez, former Prime Minister Perez. What you were saying is 100% on target. Rabin, Arafat, and now Sharon all have the common thread of Perez. Barry Shimas just sent out a world alert that Perez was celebrating with Sharon the new party that they were having, and they drank together. 20 minutes later, Sharon was shipped immediately to the hospital with hemorrhaging all over his body. We have the autopsy report at home that he gave to us. We also, he sat down and showed us the tape of Perez. This is, as you say, something that's very, very important. And you might want to get Barry Shimas. He's the number one expert on Israeli politics and what's happening in that part of the world.
And I concur with that. He's also, in my opinion, probably one of the smartest men in the world. I don't say that to flatter him, but to identify him. Barry has lived with death threats. There are people that have tried to shut him up. And that's not a coincidence that the very same people surrounding Rabin's death, and as you know, Yitzhak Rabin did not even have a bulletproof vest on. Come on, we put bulletproof vests on criminals to get them to trial. You mean a head of a state who's controversial doesn't warrant that? The same thing with Ariel Sharon. You don't put someone so far away from the hospital that's basically going to undergo surgery for his life, and as now it's coming out, he was worried about the surgery. So, you know, I do intend to talk to Barry in the next probably 48 hours, and I thank you for your input.
Speaking of bulletproof vests, not to digress, but I think it's criminally negligent. Apparently, many of our troops who have died in Afghanistan and Iraq have died because these so-called bulletproof vests, Stephen, don't work.
Well, absolutely. And, George, you know, I happen to know a little bit about them since I've been in the preparedness business. I'm not making a pitch. I'm just telling you. What we have given to our fighting men is absolutely, in so many cases, inferior equipment. It's the parents that have had to provide the electronic optical sights for the M16s. It's the parents that have sent their kids night vision devices. It's, and, you know, the story about the Humvees. How dare we withhold the best armor-plated vehicles for this country when we're losing so many of our men over there. You know, I got to tell you something. I get beyond furious when I think that you do not give your best men inferior equipment or subject them to absolute second-class technology when the first class is available. And I got to tell you something. I've never been in the military. I don't understand it, but I do know this. The men that I respect the most, the guys who are the generals in the field, they go out of the helicopters first, and they're the last ones back on. We have fabulous men. We have fabulous women fighting. But when you put them into harm's way, I got to tell you something. I think somebody's been in the sun too long in the Defense Department when we send our men up against what they're up against with inferior equipment. It makes me crazy.
Well, we need an investigation too, Stephen, to find out this company that's been making this inferior bulletproof outfits for our troops, to find out why we purchased them and whether the buyer knew that these things were no good.
Oh, absolutely. George, you know, in the way military procurement works, who knows who in the line has been bought off? Who knows who in the line has faked the results? I mean, it used to be that standards were just that. When you deal with bulletproof vests, you deal with the National Institute there's rating organizations that absolutely rate the effectiveness of bulletproof materials and different levels of Kevlar, level 1, 3, 5, whatever the level is. And, you know, you just don't basically ship a bunch of those in the field. We've had nothing but problems. It's why the military has to change now from their sidearm, which is a Beretta, a 9mm. They found that no matter what the previous testing stated, that the guys in the field had nothing but problems, and now they're going to a new military sidearm. It's the story. You know, the point is that you have to have accountability. But try and investigate something in that world, George, and you either end up frustrated or dead.
West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Great to hear you. Stephen, quick question for you. Did you work with James Cameron on Aliens of the Deep?
No.
Okay. Also, I was recently watching a news program, newscast. They were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger being over in China, talking about George Bush being over in China, you know, trying to drum up business. And yet on the same newscast, they're showing the Chinese army, the buildup of army and things like that, that they've got so many people over there, they could easily come over and just take over the United States. What do you think about that? And
well,
I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, well, okay, first of all, I've read the Chinese white papers. I have read the defector statements from China. Most people don't understand that the head of Chinese secret intelligence defected, gave us a briefing, and the transfer of technology to China under not only the Clinton administration but the previous Bush administration has been nothing short of, and I'm going to say the word, treasonous. And when you take into thought the fact that every now and then a Chinese general will break rank and say, if you even so much as interfere with Taiwan, Taiwan will nuke Los Angeles. I think it's absolute stupidity that until 3 weeks ago to a month ago, Donald Rumsfeld, he never acknowledged that China was a problem until all of a sudden. I just don't buy it. I think it's absolutely a crime, and I think that we're in no way prepared to deal. Listen, China has us by a very difficult position by the sheer amount of dollars.
Well, I'm saying, though, that what do you think about the fact that they're now selling off these dollars? We're talking about $15 billion that comes into this country from China on a regular basis to buy, you know, U.S. dollars. They're going to start getting out of that. To me, what does that tell you, Stephen?
Well, what it tells me, George, and I happen to know a little bit about this because I deal with some of the biggest traders in the world, traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, not traders. The point is that there's an orchestrated plan to flush the U.S. dollar in unison. Russia has increased its central gold holdings $50 billion last month alone.
Hurt the economy first and then hurt them militarily second.
Absolutely. Or concurrently. Now, this is what's got me worried, and I want to make this clear. Even Secretary Treasury Snow came on the scene today and said, we don't like China's rumblings in the foreign market, but we can't turn this way or turn that way. The bottom line is that a report came out from the FBI that 3,500 Chinese companies in the United States are under investigation for espionage. Now, again, over the years, people have forgotten that when you look at the technology that's been stolen out of Lawrence Livermore, out of White Sands, out of Oak Ridge, when you take our top weapons labs, the continual break-ins, and, you know, the Wen Ho Lee case and all of the different cases, you know, the thing that's fascinating to me is that you look at this in perspective and you see that, and I don't think most people understand what I'm going to say, the situation in Iran comes right out of the book of Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog, the war that is there. And what we're seeing is Russia's already gone on record as stating that they are going to back Syria and Iran in any confrontation with the West.
And how about the fact that there are at least 10,000 MS-13 gang members armed from El Salvador and other regions of Central America in this country already?
Yep.
Already here.
Well, again, you know, the situation is so perilous. You know, again, crying wolf. Let me share this with you. It is important that someone and that multiple voices be heard, because here's the deal. You know, probably one of the most heartwarming moments of my life has been when people in Florida, people in Louisiana that have listened to you and I together, to me separate, talking about preparedness, when they say, because I did what you said, Steve, I actually was able to not be in harm's way, to feed my family. We were able to not be where all the bad guys were, and we made it through. I'll tell you, George, there's no better joy at being able to help people. You see, I am of the belief that people are more important than stuff. Unfortunately, in this country, we've lost our moral compass, we've lost our direction, and God knows when the pole shift finally comes lock, stock, and barrel, maybe people will get a clue that they were looking in the wrong direction for truth.
Wildcard Line, you're up with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Robin in Denison, Texas.
Hi, Robin. Go ahead, hon.
I've got a question, Stephen. I'm a Christian, and I believe in the rapture, and I was wondering, do you believe in the rapture, and if so, do you think we may be raptured out before all this mess takes place?
Absolutely not. I don't believe in the rapture. I was, trained under Hal Lindsey's ministry as far as initial Bible prophecy. I believe that people have used that, and wrongly so, and I believe that given the fact that so much is taking place, I don't see any indication, and I won't argue it on the radio right now. This is not the place, but if you're asking me personally, I would say that Jesus's prayer in John that God wouldn't take his people out of the world, but he would keep them in the world and keep them victorious. I don't see any place where Daniel got raptured out of the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, or Joseph, or Noah even. Noah had to build an ark. So I'm sorry, you know, that doesn't agree with your position, but I'm saying this, that unless people realize that there is a movement abroad and literally going throughout the planet to destroy Abaddon, the destroyer, 5.5 billion people. I don't believe that doing nothing, hoping to get out of here, is the same as preparing as Noah did. It took faith for Noah to move, to build the ark, being warned of God of things yet he didn't see. That's all I'm trying to say. We're being warned of things that we see, and still so many people say, oh, I'll get out of here before it all happens. I don't buy it.
We'll be back with final phone calls for Stephen Quayle when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Indeed, and I'll have some special open lines for you next hour for the next couple hours. We'll be back. We'll take our final phone calls with our guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're with Stephen Quayle tonight on Coast to Coast. Stephen, do you believe if there is a strike against Iran, it will be just against the known nuke facilities or a full-scale war?
It will have to be a full-scale war because, again, concurrently with the strike against Iran, Syria and Iran have a mutual defense pact. And as you're, I think everyone knows, in the last week, George, Russia has gone on record. Again, I want to draw attention to this. It will not just stay in that theater. And again, the threats that are made aren't just the rantings of a madman, but the being backed up by other players. You know, when these devices are found and disarmed the United States, there's always someone's fingerprints. Nuclear weapons always have a telltale, not only sign, but technology. Plutonium can obviously be traced to the country of manufacture. Different components that go into the devices can be traced. But also, it's not just old technology. So when we're talking about things that go boom in the night, you know, again, the average complaint is this: well, nothing's ever happened. Oh, yeah? How do you know nothing's ever happened? And to what degree? So, you know, the point is that I'm dumbfounded. I really am at people that do not recognize that there are other ways to find out what's happening besides the 5 o'clock or the 10 o'clock news on television.
Well, you know, and they just don't see the pattern. The pattern here is you've got an Iranian, you know, it's one thing, because I've always questioned this myself. You know, we've got nuclear power. Russia does. China does. India does. Pakistan does. Israel does. If a friendly nation is attempting to build a nuclear power plant and they say it's for their own needs, for electricity, that's one thing. And I'm sure everyone would watch them and question them in the first place, trying to talk them out of it. But when you have a nation like Iran, which has a president voted in by the people, whether it was a fraudulent election or not, he's the apparent legal president there, talking about blowing Israel off the face of the map, hating America, probably one of those terrorists involved in the takeover of the American embassy back in the 70s, I mean, we got a problem here.
Well, we do have a problem. And see, that's the situation that in everybody beating up on the issue of Iraq, and for the record, George, those who have followed my writing and listened to me for over 13 years, I've always said, and I'm not covering my butt, I'm just making a declaration of truth, I've said Iraq is not the issue. Iran is the issue. Because if you remember, the Iraqis and the Iranians fought each other off for a number of years, where millions of lives were lost.
I'm beginning to think maybe, and maybe Bush didn't want to tell us, regardless of how we think about the push for the oil and everything else, but when you see this Iranian situation unfold, being in the Navy for 9 years, you know that you look for strategic points. Iraq is a very strategic point if you're going to go after Iran. It's right there. It's a neighbor. We don't really have to ask for the use of flyover space. You just do what you're going to do. I'm wondering, Stephen, if the push to go into Iraq really was motivated, first and foremost, to set the stage for Iran.
Well, that I would say this, George, is kind of like looking at a diamond. There are many facets to it, you know. There's also the whole situation that's not we don't have the time to talk about it tonight. But the ancient technology that everyone's looking for is a real quest. You know, science fiction may pick it up and address it maybe in the realm of just fictional looking for it, but we're talking about the place where Babel, the gateway to the gods, the stargates were located. We're talking about antiquities that people kill each other in the nights and the secret deals that are made in rooms.
Yeah. You're talking about the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, we are talking about everything of consequence. And isn't it interesting that right now we're talking about the very part of the world where the Garden of Eden was located? You know, the point is that now we're talking about the part of the world that's going to be bringing destruction. And, you know, again, what I think is important is that people have got to go to the open source material. You know, look, if they don't like what I say, they don't like what you say, put it on the shelf and see if it pans out. But the point is that when you talk about the potential for bird flu, for SARS, there's two camps there. There's a camp saying, hey, you know, it's nothing to worry about. There's a camp saying,
I'm in that camp, by
yep.
the way.
But I'm telling you, it doesn't bother me what the H5N1 is. What bothers me is what goes beyond that. And as I've already declared, the Spanish flu mixed with mousepox, et cetera.
We must do another show on the deaths of biologists and microbiologists, because that continues. We'll talk about that at a later time.
Yep.
Let's go and let's finish up with our final calls here for what's left of this hour with you, Stephen. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, this is Joe calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I have two questions, one concerning gold and one concerning cash. I have a significant amount of cash, a couple of $100,000, and I would like to know, since the dollar is going to take a dive, and I believe it will, where I should put that cash and what currency. Should it be in a foreign currency, a foreign bank, or I don't know.
Well,
the second concerning gold, I put about 10% into gold coins. So what is the best kind of gold to buy? Gold coins, numismatics, and such? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I think the general question that has to be answered is, what does a concerted sell-off of the American dollar mean to the purchasing power, then, of our currency? I think the critical issue that everyone has to ask is that if they've looked at what's happened to General Motors and Ford and all the different companies that have gone into financial distress, the first people to suffer are the people that worked for those companies for all the years, and now, whether it's the airlines, whether it's the auto industry or big business, they're looking at a compression in their lifestyle because the pensions just, number one, either aren't going to be there or are going to be cut disproportionately to the amount of money put in. So if the American dollar goes into a sell-off, and I believe, again, the Chinese statement today, George, was a hydrogen bomb in the financial markets, then the only place to protect your purchasing power is in commodities. And when I say commodities, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, copper, good night. The copper prices have risen dramatically. Now, people have got to understand that China and India possess together one-third of the world's population. The Chinese and the Indians are buying record amounts of both gold and silver. That's what they consider wealth. I can tell you this, when the U.S. goes down, everyone else goes down. So paper currency is not going to be the place where you want it. So I would recommend a realistic approach. And by the way, I function on this. If you look at the price of gold and silver, gold has been double the $425 mark that it pretty much was the equilibrium price. Silver was $50. If you take just 1% of the money that's under management by the big funds, you multiply the amount of money that represents by the amount of above ground gold and silver, you're only looking at explosive and exploding metal prices. But people don't understand, the Chinese have bid up to $800 U.S. for gold in India, and they're currently acquiring as much precious metals as possible. So is India, so is Russia. And there's an old adage in history, George, that says, money always flees from weak hands to strong hands. And given the fact that China has announced its divestiture of U.S. dollars, you take Iran has stated that coming in March, they're not going to take U.S. dollars for their oil. You get to the statement where the financial figures of M3, the monetary aggregate that the Federal Reserve has always made public, will no longer be made public. You get this time period between now, the 5th, and March, being the time period that's the most volatile for Iran. Good night. Just on the basis of money, people should recognize that something's happening in this country that's never happened before, where hundreds of thousands of people who thought they had a very secure financial future now have question marks about that future.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, George. Hi, Steve. I've been doing some research about where to live. A couple of years ago, I did, and I ended up moving to El Paso. And what I want to do now is sort of have a place for which to flee in case of some sort of an emergency. Apparently, there's a lot of military here and more to come. I just heard today they're going to be having more to come in the future. And I'm looking for a strategy, a best way to figure out where to put this little place, you know, and stock it with supplies and that sort of thing.
Well, she should be talking to Stan Dale. Stephen, what do you think?
Well, absolutely. First of all, your number one criteria living in Texas or Oklahoma is water.
Right.
And I tell people this, water doesn't mean water that flows through your property, water that originates on your property, i.e. an artesian well, a spring, etc.
Okay.
The point is Stan Deo and his wife Holly have produced a wonderful video, DVD called Prudent Places. And you can go to my website, stevequayle.com, go to theirs, and you can get information on it. But let me tell you this. I believe, and I'll be blunt, I believe with the earth changes that we see happening, the greatest migration in the history of this country will be dependent upon water. Should the New Madrid earthquake go off anytime soon, you're going to have a rupture of what's called the Ogallala Aquifer. There are too many people reporting from around the country the smell of sulfur dioxide, having issues with their well water, basically turning different colors, having a funny smell to it, or dropping. So we know that the earth changes that are coming are going to disrupt that fresh water. So, ma'am, your number one concern is fresh water. I got to tell you something. In my opinion, and please don't get mad at me, people in Desert Southwest, you all got to be looking north. Way north.
Well, it reminds me of some of the things that Stan was telling me when we were taping our prediction show, which runs next week, as a matter of fact, Stephen. He was talking about some familiar things that you've just mentioned, even more dire consequences.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is something that people don't understand. For instance, Holly wrote a book called Dare to Prepare. And, George, I've been in this world of trying to help people literally for 30 years. And it takes a real determination to prepare, but it's not something that's like trying to live on Mars or the atmosphere on Mars. It's not that complicated. But the bottom line is, it's always, you know, the old adage in preparation is not only food first, but it's water and the great water wars that are going to be fought worldwide. If you look at conflict throughout the world. Even in the Middle East, water is life. Without water, there is no life. And if you interrupt that, and Stan has got a very, as you know, Stan is laid back. I mean, when I say laid back, he's got a scientific background and a pedigree that will just blow most people's mind. But the point is when I hear Stan getting worried, and I talk to him, as you know, about every day,
yes.
The bottom line is that, and his science is real science. And then I know that governments, and he won't even tell people this, I'll let the cat out of the bag, that foreign governments call him to get his opinion on stuff because they're very concerned that their models for earthquakes, their models for tsunami, and a lot of the information that they're deriving, that Stan is not only validating it, but giving them other things to think about also. So this whole idea of preparation, water is critical. Water, fresh water. If you live on the oceans or believe you're going to be living 200 miles inland and that will be seafront, then you better look at handheld desalinization. They actually make them. They're like a water filter, a desalinator. But see, again, people, absolutely, we all of us in America are facing now different issues. And the econometric models that are out there are not really dealing with the reality of failed insurance companies. Again, of the failures of insurance companies to even cover legitimate claims. You know, the idea that there's going to be someone there to help, I think, is a fallacious one. And I think the best thing you can do is prepare, and use common sense. It doesn't have to take a degree from MIT to prepare.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, good to have you with us.
Hey, George, it's great to talk to you and to Stephen, too. I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba. My name's Paul. I've studied eschatology for years, and I've also got this precognitive thing going. And I'd like to say about this thing, crying wolf, there. And I'll paraphrase from Scripture. There is Scripture that says in the last days that people will be saying, well, these things have been going on for a long time. What's any different? Well, I think if we look at the world now, it's a lot different. I have a question for Steve. What do you think of the Skull and Bones Society, George Bush going to Area 51? And I'll just make a statement. I had a bizarre dream, and I've had several of these very precognitive dreams, but this one was a little weirder than most of them. I was sort of given in this dream the name of the Antichrist, so I went on a web search, and I won't say where or anything, but I found this guy by the name of Eduardo Adolf Cassini. Just something I thought I'd throw out there, but Stephen is right on. America, you have to listen to this guy. He's right. We do have to prepare, and I'm wondering if the states will be taken out by a preemptive strike by the Russians or some rogue element so that the Russians and Iran and that can invade Israel.
Well, I think based on the Ezekiel 38, and for people that have never read the Old Testament, just go and read Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel the prophet talking about the Gog and Magog war. It literally talks about all of the countries that were in antiquity being brought. And the point being is that's what we're dealing with Persia. That's what we're dealing with Russia. And it's also fascinating that when you deal with all of the different allegiances and alliances, that it is my contention to the caller that all terrorism is someone's foreign policy with plausible deniability that someone big, either Russia, China, you name it, different countries can hire basically paid assassins, call them what you will, basically give them their orders, carry it out, have plausible deniability. But there comes a time where, if anyone hasn't noticed, the increase in arms that have been going on with China and with Russia, new intercontinental ballistic missile systems, new underwater torpedo systems, George, you were in the Navy, hypersonic torpedoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the situation is this is not building to a place that Isaiah said would come during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when people would beat their swords into plowshares. Man, they're doing everything they can to get the scrap metal from the plowshares rotting on the American farms and put them into battleships. I think we are coming to a point where when push comes to shove, the United States, and this is my statement, I stand by it, and if it makes people offended, I'm sorry, it's reality. If you read the Chinese war doctrine, they have planned and are specific in how they are going to launch on this country. They are surrounding us. You have now Chavez of Venezuela having made a deal with the Chinese. You have the largest container port in the Caribbean, in the Bahamas, owned by the Chinese. You have a lot of stuff going on.
They control both ends of the Panama Canal.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you something. There's a basic word that's called encirclement, and we have been encircled. I was told by a high-ranking ex-Canadian military man that they have 985,000 Chinese in Canada. And he said, Steve, he said, all I can tell you is these aren't farmers.
Something to watch. Stephen, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Thank you, George, so much.
SteveCoyle.com is his website. And by the way, if you happen to be living next to someone named Eduardo, well, don't worry too much. He's probably not the Antichrist. Don't worry. I'll be back in a moment. 2 hours of open lines now, right here on Coast to Coast AM.